Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I say it to Him over and over, 'Lord, do anything You want with me. Work Your will in me.'" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today again on the subject of darkness. I've often spoken of the people who have been models to me of godliness in my life. One of those was a young woman that I met when I was a very little girl. I think I was about 4 years old when Betty Scott was a guest in our home. She was on her way to China to marry her fiancé, John Stamm, who was already over there. I don't really remember very much about what she looked like or what she said. As I said, I was probably only about 4 years old. But there is a book called The Triumph of John and Betty Stamm, which I am afraid may not any longer be in print. But there is a description of her which fits my vague memories and, of course, fills in a whole lot of the blanks. Betty was quiet, never profuse, gently direct, and above the average in intelligence and culture. She was never hurried or ruffled. Her dress, while suited to the occasion, was never the least bit showy. For classes, she usually wore low Oxfords, a dark blue sport skirt, and a sweater of plain style and the darker hues. She did not wear jewelry or frills and flowers. Her dark, straight hair, parted on one side, was worn in a bun at the back of the neck. I thought this very becoming to her with her lovely, rather rounded face. Her voice and expression were soft, pleasing, and gentle. She was well-built and well-poised. Her choice was evidently the simple life with high ideals and a definite goal. Betty was one of the outstanding young women at Moody Bible Institute. I admired the zeal and sweetness of her life. Betty had that unmistakable confidence in the Lord and Christ-like spirit, which never failed to help those who came to know her. It was clear that her opinions were formed only after serious thought and definite prayer. And the book tells of her prayer life, the depth and sincerity of her prayer life, and then of how she fell in love with John Stamm when she was a student at Moody Bible Institute. And, of course, the visit that she made to our home was after he had graduated. I guess she had also graduated, and he had been in China, I believe, for at least a year by that time. But it was a great trial of their faith to be separated for as long as they were. They had fallen in love in Bible school, and the Lord saw fit to keep them apart for several years. I've forgotten how many. And the book says, few, even among Betty's friends, realized how searching were some of the experiences that came to her during these years in Chicago. Her outward calm gave little indication of the deepening work of God within. It almost seemed, her father wrote, as though out of her peaceful, sheltered life, she had prescience of terrible things she would someday encounter for the Lord and be called upon to suffer for His dear sake. Meanwhile, her loyal heart was in training for the tragic test. Part of her exercise of mind was due to uncertainty as to her future field of service. I can identify so closely with these things. Her heart called her to China, but she feared that it was partly love of parents and home that influenced her, because her parents were missionaries in China. Africa came before her at this time, and especially the need of its suffering lepers, for whom there seemed so few to care. Could she be willing to give up all that China meant and consecrate her life to so Christ-like, yet painful a task? With Betty's direct nature, the question had to be answered. She faced it fully, and though it meant death to her loving aesthetic nature, she was enabled to offer herself even for this, if it were the will of God. She wrote a poem called My Testimony. And shall I fear that there is anything that men hold dear thou wouldst deprive me of, and nothing give in place? that is not so, for I can see thy face and hear thee now. My child, I died for thee. And if the gift of love and life you took from me, shall I one precious thing withhold, one beautiful and bright, one pure and precious thing withhold? My child, it cannot be. Yet the testings had to go deeper before this true and eager soul was satisfied in its following hard after God. Consecration meant much more to her now even than it had 5 years previously. To her father, the following verses were sent in her second year at Moody. This poem, she wrote, expresses the distress of soul and fear of mind that were mine before I surrendered my all, even inmost motives, so far as I know, to God's control. The fourth stanza is his gracious acceptance of my unworthy self. The last tells of the joy, satisfaction, and peace of assured guidance that Christ my Savior gives me, now that he is the Lord of my life. Now, I said that the subject today was darkness, and some of you are in the darkness of not knowing what to do. You don't know what the will of God for you is. You're facing a hard decision. So was Betty Scott. This is what she wrote. I'm standing, Lord. There is a mist that blinds my sight. Steep, jagged rocks, front, left, and right. Lower, dim, gigantic, in the night. Where is the way? I'm standing, Lord. The black rock hems me in behind. Above my head, a moaning wind chills and oppresses heart and mind. I am afraid. I'm standing, Lord. The rock is hard beneath my feet. I nearly slipped, Lord, on the sleet. So weary, Lord, and where a seat? Still must I stand? He answered me, and on his face a look ineffable of grace, of perfect understanding love, which all my murmuring did remove. I'm standing, Lord. Since thou hast spoken, Lord, I see thou hast beset. These rocks are thee. And since thy love encloses me, I stand and sing. Was this experience permitted in order that its surpassing consolation might come back to her on another night, some shadow of which seems already to have fallen across her pathway? Well, the book goes on to tell of her commitment to go to China, her engagement to John, and then the stunning piece of news that I remember my father bringing home with the evening newspaper when I was 8 years old. John and Betty Stamm had been captured by Chinese communists and had been marched half-naked through the streets of the village and beheaded. Betty was forced to watch as John's head was chopped off, and then she was forced to put her neck on that chopping block. And Betty Scott Stamm's prayer, which I didn't find until I was 12 years old, has become a prayer of my life. Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will from my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to thee to be thine forever. Fill me and seal me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as thou wilt. Send me where thou wilt. Work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. It was when I was 12 that I realized that if Jesus Christ was my Savior, Jesus Christ had to be my Lord. And so I wanted to give him everything. And I took Betty Scott Stamm's words and I copied them into the back of my Bible, and that became my prayer. I give up all my own plans and purposes and accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to thee. And I've read several times during these talks on darkness the verse from Isaiah 50, verse 10. I'll read it again. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Can you imagine the darkness that must have come over John and Betty when they knew that the communists were moving toward their city? Can you imagine her feelings as she wrapped up her baby and pinned the instructions for the formula to the baby's bunting and left that baby on the bed when she and her husband were forced to leave the house? God miraculously preserved that baby. It is said that the entire house had been ransacked, but apparently they never saw the little child, Helen Priscilla. Darkness seemed to enclose her. She was shut in by rocks. She was thinking of that verse in the Old Testament that says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And so she wrote, "I'm standing, Lord. Where is the way?" But he led her one step at a time, day by day. And it was that triumphant, heroic death for the name of Jesus Christ that was like a light to me in the darkness when I didn't know whether God wanted me to be a missionary or not. And then when I knew that he did want me to be a missionary, I didn't know where. I didn't know what country to go to. I didn't know what tribe God might call me to do translation work in. But I thank God for those who have gone before. The Bible is full of stories of God's dealings with people, with men and women. Read it. Pray over it. Search the Scriptures for guidance for your own life. Read John 8:12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.